Thank you for that reading, Oliver. I've been looking forward to this Sunday for a good while now. I got a message from our song leader, Arian, who is a wonderful servant of the Lord and of the church in Tirana, Albania. He leads singing there. He's also been a part of the camp that my family has gone to and done singing there as well. He's someone who is here with us today and is being able to share his gifts with us. We're also excited to have Ellen Walker, who's here. She has done wonderful things for the church in Tirana, Albania as well, and has used her gifts as a missionary and as a servant of the Lord. And so it's an exciting day. As you can see, he is a fantastic song leader. And so thank you so much for leading us in our worship service. Speaking of using our gifts to serve the church, both local and abroad, we last week, if you remember, we had a ministry fair where we talked about different ways that we can get involved in serving the church, different ministries that we have available right here that we can all get plugged into. And I am so thankful for those of you who were able to stick around and learn more about some of the ministries that we have taking place and find ways to get involved. And if you are worried and concerned that you have missed your opportunity, rest assured, we will provide another one here today. You can all get involved in saying yes to ministry. In fact, at the end of our service here in just a little bit, right now, at the end of our service, I guess I'm done. No, at the end of our service here in a little bit, we will have a ministry survey that'll just gauge interest in different areas, and it's not going to commit you to anything. I'll explain it more when the time comes. But we're going to pass it out and give everyone a chance to indicate areas that you might be interested in learning more about or finding ways that you can serve and get involved. When I think about a congregation like this, that has a lot of members in it, and so many talented and faithful people, so many gifted people, I can't help but think of an illustration that Paul uses. And I think it's his favorite illustration when he talks about ministry and gifts. He uses it in Romans 12, he uses it in Ephesians 4, and he uses it in 1 Corinthians 12. Most passages where he starts talking about gifts, this is his go-to illustration, and it's the human body. I made quick reference to it last week, but the body has all sorts of different functions, and you know what I do with my fingers are pretty important, but it's quite different than what I do with my eyes, which is also pretty important. And Paul wants us to think of the church as the same way. You have a diverse group of faithful, gifted followers of Christ. We can do a lot for the kingdom. And what one person does might be quite different than what another person does. And as humans, we have a really rotten tendency to take good things like that and turn them negative, like into comparing or seeing who's the most important or who's doing the best or who has the most honorable job in the church. And that's all a big mistake. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, that's the mistake Paul's trying to correct. There seem to be some who take one particular gift, in this case it's the gift of tongue speaking, and seem to be like elevating it as though that's the greatest gift of all, and all other gifts are secondary or tertiary or way down the list, not that important. There's some gifts that give you honor, like tongue speaking, and there's some gifts that you might as well not even worth doing, right? And so Paul is trying to demonstrate how in the kingdom of heaven and in service to the kingdom, in the service to God, every member, every part of the body, every follower of Jesus, every Christian has a role that they can and should play. And it's a beautifully written couple of chapters. We're just going to stick in chapter 12, and there's 1,000 points you can make about it. But I'm just going to boil it down to 4. And I'm going to try to say them pretty quickly so that we have time for the survey. But there are 4 really, really important points that I hope that we take with us when we think about gift and service and ministry in the kingdom. And the first is that even though we are diverse in our skills and interests and gifts, we use them together to the glory of one and the same God. I love the way that Paul begins. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. I love the Trinitarian structure of thinking about the gifts of the church. He says, "There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord Jesus. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Notice the language there of there's all these gifts, there's all these ministries, there's all these effects, and yet there's the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God who works all these things together. When you are serving, even if you are serving in a different way than someone else, you are both serving together as a united force for the will of God and for God to work through you in the world and in the kingdom. And that's a beautiful thing. There is room for diversity in gifting because it produces the same glory to the same God. Second point I want to make is against the tendency to think that, well, here's the really important one and here's the less important one. Here's the position of honor and the ministry that everyone should seek to have, and here's the one that doesn't matter quite so much. Paul tackles that idea also here in chapter 12. Look with me at verse 18. Notice who is behind all of the different gifts and ministries of the church. Chapter 12 and verse 18, he says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." So here's a way of thinking about it. If you think little about the work that is being done by another, you're thinking little about the will and intention and work of God, because God's the one who wanted that work to be done, and God's the one who placed that one there to do it. And so Paul, he goes on to talk about how we might, is with our view, have varying like levels of honor and dishonor for different works that people are doing in the kingdom. What God does is anything that we would consider to lack honor, he bolsters it up with more honor so that they have honor that comes from God. Whether it's a big thing or a little thing, whatever is being done is honored and leveled out by God so that we all share in the same. So that, this is verse 24, the second half of it, he says, "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which we thought lacked, so that there are no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." And so the idea is anything that we might think lacks importance or value, God infuses it and instills it with importance and honor. That's a way of saying, get involved, whether you think it's a big thing or a little thing. God will honor what you are doing. And God has a place for what you are doing. And God has a purpose for what you are doing. And what you are doing honors the triune God that we worship. The third point is that when we do get active and involved, or when we neglect or harm, that's not just the one area that we help. And it's not just one area that we harm. But instead, whatever we do to that one area impacts the body as a whole. The passage that was just read by Oliver a moment ago in verse 26 says, "But if one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." If I stub my toe, the rest of my body's not thrilled about it, right? Like, if one part of me suffers, nothing's happy about that suffering. And I think that's true in the body of Christ as well. I think that's what Paul is kind of wanting. If there's an area that is being neglected or that is in need, that can actually harm the whole rest of the body. But at the same time, when those types of areas are honored and committed to and people work hard in them, then that's something that benefits the whole body. That's something that the whole, like a back massage, again, the rest of my body loves a back massage, you know, because it feels good. Things that hurt are detrimental to the whole body, but things that are a blessing and that are good, they honor the whole body. And so again, whatever it is you do, don't look down on another area, because that'll end up harming the whole functioning of the entire thing. But at the same time, any area you're involved in, you're helping the entire body of Christ and honoring the entire body of Christ. It has a spreading effect where it has the good is contagious and it benefits and honors everything. And then finally, I want to close with this one point. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think it's one of the most beautiful and profound chapters in all of the Bible. And because of that, it's one of the most popular chapters in all of the Bible. A lot of people know about 1 Corinthians 13. It's a famous love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Is not arrogant. Does not act unbecoming. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's a powerful reflection on the beauty and necessity of love in the church. But do you know why Paul is talking about love? He begins that chapter by comparing the gift of love to the other types of gifts in the church. And the point that he makes is, imagine you have the greatest gift of all when it comes to tongue speaking. Imagine not only do you speak in tongues, you can speak in all the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. Like, what language do angels speak when they're just chatting with each other up in heaven? I don't quite know. But whatever that is, imagine you have such a profound gift of tongues that you could speak that. You know, if you don't have love, that gift is meaningless and nothing. Or what about knowledge? Let's say you understand everything there is to know, and you have knowledge of every theologically minute difference in the whole history of Christianity, and you understand the proper answer to it, and you have it all figured out. If you don't have love, it profits nothing. Imagine you are so generous that you will give up everything, even your own body, to be burned for the sake of another. You give up all of your possessions. If it doesn't come from love, ultimately it profits nothing. The point Paul's trying to make is that every gift that there is must be thoroughly rooted and immersed in love for God and for one another. That's what makes the gifts effective. That's what makes the work of the church meaningful. If you remove love from it, then it's just a job like any other. But with love, it is the sacred and eternal work of Christ that is breaking into our world and showing the goodness of God. That's why it matters. And that's why it's important. And that's why it's an opportunity to serve and to demonstrate the love of God to one another, to build up one another. In fact, when you get to chapter 14, that word build up or edify is a key word for the chapter. That's one of the main purposes of the gifts, is if you love one another, then seek to strengthen and build up one another. So as we bring our lesson to a close, here's the challenge. I want you to stick around for just a few minutes and take this survey and indicate areas of interest in ministry that you might have or getting involved in helping some of the things that go on here, and recognize that everything that can be done for the sake of the kingdom matters, and it has a place of honor, and it benefits the entire body. And I want you to take this survey reflecting on your love for God and for one another. The greatest commands that there are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Think love and service for one another when you think about ways of getting involved in ministry. And if there's anyone here who would like to become a Christian here this morning, please let that be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.